The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll have my March trip report. That's coming up on this episode 143 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 143. So I just got back from my March Disney World trip and I recorded audio clips daily. You guys seem to like those, so I did that. If you were following along every day, you may have caught those in your podcast feed. If so, this episode includes a final clip at the end that I recorded after I got home regarding my last day and just sort of some overall thoughts about this trip. So without further ado, here are the daily reports from my March trip. And the next time that I do this will be at the end of May for the opening of Pandora. So I'm looking forward to that. So here is the recap of my March trip. Hello, this is the first night of my March trip, and I'm recording this a little after 1 a.m. on Friday night. We had a 3 a.m. alarm this morning. We flew here super early. So we actually landed in Orlando around, I think, 9 o'clock this morning. So it's been a really long day. We had 23,000 steps, which I guess is what happens when you land at 9 and don't get back until 1 o'clock in the morning. You go in between. So, let's see, where did we start? We were picked up at the airport by the company Orlando Transportation by Mike. And if any of you have read my airport transportation post, I list a lot of different options. And one of those is Orlando Transportation by Mike. He's the car service that I recommend. And so we had fantastic service as usual from them to pick us up and bring us to Pop Century, which is where we're staying on this trip. I am trying to stay at all the resorts as of this year. Pop Century is not one that I needed to stay at, but it is one that I'm repeating because the price was right for this trip, because I was just here like 5 weeks ago. So not every trip can cost a ton of money. And so this is a super budget friendly trip. And I'm looking forward to walking around Pop Century and taking lots of pictures, because last time I was here, I was not in that routine of walking around, posting pictures. And I have Facebook albums with resort pictures. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that on this trip. I'm also staying at Coronado Springs, which, although it has lots of construction and part of it, I will be walking around doing the same thing there. And again, that's another one that I stayed at before, did not take a lot of great pictures of, and so I get to do it this trip. Today, when we after we got to our hotel room, was not quite ready, because officially they're not ready until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it is. And so at 9 a.m. it wasn't ready, but we did leave our bags with Bell Services at the hotel, and then we headed to Epcot. While we were at Epcot, we got a text message that our room was ready, and Bell Services actually brought our bags to our room and left them in the room, which is fantastic. In the past, I've always had to call down to Bell Services and request that they bring the bags. And so there's always a bit of a wait, but it's totally understandable. But the fact that they brought them while we were gone and they were here when we got back was such a nice bonus. I don't know if that's a normal thing now, if that's standard procedure, or if we just kind of got lucky with really great service, but I really appreciated that from the Bell Services here at Pop Century. But anyway, while we were at Epcot, we did Flower and Garden Festival, which just started this week. I don't think Epcot ever looks prettier than it does during Flower and Garden Festival, because there's just flowers everywhere. And there's kiosks that you can go around. And so our lunch was just random kiosks that we ate at in the World Showcase. All of it was really good. I especially like the pineapple kiosk where we were able to get a violet lemonade and a spicy pineapple dog. Both were really good. But anyway, we kind of just snacked around to have our lunch. Took lots of pictures, enjoyed the 70-degree weather because the World Showcase is often really hot and unbearable during the day. If you come during a warm time of year, but this time of year, it's just so pleasant. So we walked around the entire World Showcase, eating, taking pictures of the topiaries, you know, all that kind of stuff. The friends that I'm with had never been on Frozen Ever After, and we had a fast pass for that this afternoon. So it's always really fun for me to see things through other people's eyes. And this is two grown men who, you know, are, they like Frozen, but they aren't, you know, don't have children or anything, but really love the ride. And we also went over to the Anna and Elsa meet and greet, which they really enjoyed. And I really recommend those. I think character meet and greets can be kind of awkward, but sometimes they're really worth it. And I think the Anna and Elsa one is one of those. Let's see. And if you, by the way, if you want to see pictures of any of this stuff, I posted on Instagram and Facebook. I tend to post Instagram throughout the day as things occur. And then I tend to post on Facebook in batches all at once. So whichever you like, or do both if you are on both. What else do we do at Epcot? There were some photo pass picture opportunities that aren't typically there. Including there's this area near Club Cool, I think it was. It looked like sidewalk chalk. And the photographer positioned us on these butterfly drawings. And then when he took the picture, it looked like 3D butterflies that we were on. It was really cute. So just look for opportunities like that to take pictures because they're not always there, but they're fun when they are. And also at the front of the park, we posed in front of the pretty topiaries at the entrance, and then they insert sometimes Figment, sometimes Tinkerbell, that kind of thing. So be sure to stop and get the special pictures taken if you can. So after Epcot, we came back to our hotel very briefly, and that's when we discovered that our bags had been delivered, and we kind of got freshened up and headed to The Wave, which is at the Contemporary. And if I was making a list of the most underrated things, The Wave would be on the list because it's usually really easy to get into. It's great service, fantastic food. I just highly recommend it. If you need something last minute, that's a really great go-to. So from there, we were able to easily get over to Magic Kingdom because you can walk there or take the monorail or whatever. So then we went to Magic Kingdom for DVC party. I'm not a DVC member, but I was a guest of DVC members. And these parties are thrown a couple times a year for DVC members. They're free, but they fill up. So you have to get your tickets in advance so that you make sure you can go. But what's great about them is they have food options. Usually in the past, it's been ice cream. Tonight, it was chicken nuggets and hot dogs, which is kind of weird. But they had soft drinks, and then there's lots of rare characters out, and there were tons of long lines for, like, you could meet Belle and the Beast together, and lots of, like, couples like that and rare characters. So that's always fun. But they also do special fireworks. So before the party started at 10, we actually watched Wishes, which is probably our last time seeing Wishes since it goes away in May. And then during the party at midnight, they showed their own special fireworks for the DVC party. What's fantastic about them is that there were just so many. Like, it was just, I don't know. It's like they blew up all the fireworks all at once. I just loved it. And they use more like pop music than they did classic Disney songs. And so it was just fun. It's like a kind of a party vibe. So anyway, we left like after midnight and got back here, but it was a really long day after getting up at 3 o'clock this morning. And tomorrow we are going to rope drop Magic Kingdom, believe it or not, even though it's really late. I'm probably taking an afternoon break and then go to Animal Kingdom, where we are doing the Rivers of Light dining package and seeing Rivers of Light for the first time. So super excited about that. So come back tomorrow night and see how it went. So it is day two, Saturday night. It's a little after 11 o'clock at night. It's another long day. today, especially considering last night was so late. We did start today with a rope drop at Magic Kingdom. I always like to do rope drop if I can, even if I'm tired. Although, having said that, tomorrow might not be a rope drop day. So we're at Pop Century. And one of the best things about Pop Century is the direct buses. So that means that we don't have to wait for pickups at other resorts. Once you're on the bus, you're going directly to a park. And so the 8 o'clock bus is usually the goal if I want to be at park opening. And that means leaving the room around 7:45, 7:50 to be there at the bus stop before 8 o'clock so that you can catch the bus closest to 8. I think we arrived at Magic Kingdom around 8:15 or 8:20. Which is great timing. And we were able to go into the bakery on Main Street and get Starbucks and then line up in the hub. And we decided that we were going to line up for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is the fastest building line from the hub area because Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is the most popular. And it was a really long line. If you don't want to do that, it's a lot more kind of leisurely way to start the day. But we did the opening show, which is on the stage in front of the castle. I did a Facebook Live of that, if you'd like to go to the Facebook page and check that out. And then we were off to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and we did have about a 30-minute standby wait at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, even though we were in the line before park opening. It's not my ideal way to start the day. I don't like doing that. If you do Peter Pan's Flight, and then Winnie the Pooh, and then Undersea Journey, The Little Mermaid. You can do those three all within the first hour without much of a wait at all. But if you want to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and don't have a fast pass, then standing in line for 20 to 30 minutes at park opening is your next best bet. So we did that, and then we did a few different things. I had on my to-do list for Magic Kingdom, I had find the baked potato that was for sale because people kept asking me about that. There was a podcast recently with Jill where she said she was getting baked potatoes in Magic Kingdom and bringing her own toppings. And people asked me lots of questions about that because apparently the place that used to sell them doesn't anymore. So I went on a quest today to find them, and they are at Sleepy Hollow Refreshments, which is right next to the castle. And they're like $3.39. So we actually ended up ordering that. It comes with butter, sour cream, cheese, whatever. Like Jill said, it's a super affordable thing to buy and eat. And so we had that. I actually posted a picture of that on Instagram. And there was a big response for a baked potato. But it's a snack credit too if you're on the dining plan. I was also able to confirm while we were waiting for the park to open, a lot of people had asked about the quick service breakfast because Casey's Corner sometimes serves breakfast before the park opens, and the ice cream parlor also has breakfast. And so I went and asked them today. Some of their items are quick service credits and some of them are snack credits, but they're all on the dining plan. So that should answer some questions that people had had for us. We just did a few different things at Magic Kingdom before we headed out. We came back to the resort for a short break, and during that break, I walked around and took tons of photos, and I like to do photo tours of the resorts when I'm here. So Pop Century is very photogenic because it's big and bright. And so I have those photos ready to go, but I won't post them until I get back because when I'm here, I always have a lot of current photos to post. But I'll post those this week when I get back. I think I'm up to 48. So I'll have an album of those on Facebook within a few days. And then we headed to Animal Kingdom where we had a Rivers of Light dining package. And you can choose between Tiffin's or Tusker House. And we ate at Tiffin's, which is one of my favorite restaurants. And that was a really good meal. Always good. And when you have the dining package, you get appetizer, entree, and dessert. So it's fun to be able to have all that. Normally, I wouldn't order all of that, but it's nice to have those options when you have a dining package. So then while we were waiting for Rivers of Light to start, we did some rides and saw Festival of the Lion King and all that kind of stuff. The View is actually taping a show here tomorrow, I think. And so Whoopi Goldberg was spotted today at Magic Kingdom. And then when we were at Animal Kingdom, the table that they sit out for their show is right in front of the Tree of Life. So I think they're taping that tomorrow. But then tonight was Rivers of Light, which is our first time seeing it. And so we were super excited about it. When you go to Rivers of Light, you have a choice of dining package or getting a fast pass or standby. And I don't know if it's the same every single night, but it was roughly half fast passes, 25% dining package, and 25% standby. And some of the standby people started getting in line around 4:30. I do not recommend standby. If you can get a fast pass, please get a fast pass or a dining package. But I know that can be pricey. So I highly recommend getting a fast pass if you can. Anyway, show was really great and totally worth the wait. Really pretty. I can't wait to go back. I don't know if I'll get to go back this trip or if it will be in May, but super excited about it and look forward to doing that. Anyway, I'm working on putting together some helpful information about Rivers of Light to kind of show you how the scene works. But if you're debating what fast passes to get, I would highly recommend Rivers of Light if you don't want to book a dining package. What else? Oh, so when we left there, we really wanted to eat something because we hadn't eaten in several hours, and we decided to take the bus to Art of Animation. And I wanted to mention that because when you're staying at Art of Animation or Pop, you can walk between the two. And so although we're staying at Pop, we wanted to eat at the food court of Art of Animation. So we took the bus over there, had a late dinner, and then walked across the bridge to come to Pop Century. So that's a nice perk. You have two different food courts you can eat at if you are staying in one of those two resorts. I think that'll be it for today. Tomorrow we are using express transportation to go between the parks. And so we will be going, I thought we were going to do four parks in one day. Maybe we'll do three. But we are going to use the express buses because it's one of my favorite new things. And I hope my friends that I'm with will like it as well. So I'll be back tomorrow night to tell you all about that. So tune back in and see what happens. Today is day three. It is Sunday night. I lose track of the days in my mirror. Day three, and I'm actually recording this a little after 11 o'clock at night from my room at Coronado Springs Resort because this morning our day began by checking out at Pop Century. So I was staying with some friends at Pop Century Resort, and this was their last day here, and it was my last day at Pop Century, and I was going to hop to the next resort. And so the first thing we had to do was to get up and pack all of our stuff and get ready for a day in the parks. And before we got on a bus to go to the parks, we had to stop by our respective desks to take care of our luggage. So they did airline check-in where they checked their bags and got their boarding passes. And I went to luggage services and I told them that I would like my bags transferred to the next resort. They told me at it was early. It was like 8 o'clock this morning, 9 o'clock this morning, that my bags would not be available until around 3 or 4, which was fine because I was going to be gone in the parks all day. But I just point that out to you in case you wanted to transfer your bags during a split stay and you didn't know how long it would take. It actually can take quite a while. But we then headed out to go to the parks. And today we had a goal of going to all four parks. If you followed along with the last trip, you know, in January, my son and I did four parks in one day and we really loved it. My son doesn't like a whole lot of things, but he really liked that. So that's really saying something. But the friends that I was with this trip, they had on their Disney bucket list to do four parks in one day. And the new express transportation allows you to do that so easily. So that was our goal for today. And like I said in January, it is a great last day thing to do because you can kind of go through all the parks and sample them and do things that you didn't do earlier in your trip or, you know, you can just have like a little list of, okay, I'd like to have lunch here or get a cupcake here or go to this one ride or something like that. It's just a great sampler of all the parks. So that was what we did today. We started at Animal Kingdom. And that's where we bought express transportation and we had it put on our magic bands. The price has gone up since I was here 5 weeks ago. It is now $19 for one day or $29 for up to 7 days. $29 for 7 days is a great deal. But even $19 for one day is well worth it. So we did Animal Kingdom. We rode Expedition Everest and we took some pictures and things like that. And then ultimately we ended up boarding our express bus to go to the next park, which was Epcot. So once we got to Epcot, we actually did have a fast pass for Soarin' that we wanted to use. And we also had lunch. We ended up eating at Sunshine Seasons, which is in the same building as Soarin'. What else? Took a few pictures. You know, it was just real, nothing too intense. We did go to the Disney Visa character meet and greet. By the way, I uploaded a huge batch of pictures on Facebook of the day, but some of the things are not included, such as the Disney Visa character meet and greet. That's located in the Imagination Pavilion has Figment and the Pixar movies, but it also has character meet and greet. And I do not have a Disney Visa, so this isn't something I can do, but my friends did, so I got to go with them. And from what I understand, they tell you that it is just Mickey and friends. You really never know who it's going to be. But today it was Pluto and Minnie, and so we got to take pictures with them. And the wall that you take pictures against is it's Spaceship Earth painted on the wall, so it's not just a plain wall. It's kind of a cute picture. So that was just a fun thing, and if you have a Disney Visa, that's something you can do. And speaking of the Imagination Pavilion, we also went to the DVC Member Lounge, which is located at the top level of the Imagination Pavilion. DVC means Disney Vacation Club. That is Disney's version of a timeshare. Again, I am not a DVC member, but my friends are. And so they wanted to go to the lounge because they'd never seen it. And I have a lot of DVC friends. And so whenever I'm with them, I have been able to go to places like the lounge at Epcot. So we headed up there and it's just a great spot to relax. They have drinks, like sodas and waters and things. They have video games, they have computers, they have USB outlets and wall plugs everywhere so you can recharge your devices. It's just a really great place to hang out if you happen to be a DVC owner or a guest of one. So we did that, you know, just kind of some random things as we were at Epcot today. And then we boarded the express transportation and headed to Hollywood Studios. Our only real goal at Hollywood Studios was to catch the preview of Beauty and the Beast. They do an extended preview of a lot of movies that are getting ready to come out. So this one will be going on for just a little while longer until it actually comes out in, I think it's what, March 17th. So One Man's Dream is an attraction that shows you lots of like Walt-related memorabilia and kind of the history of Disney and all that kind of stuff. But at the very back of One Man's Dream is this movie theater, and that's where they often show these previews of movies that are coming. It just happens to be Beauty and the Beast right now. By the way, movie looks really great, and my friend that was with me kind of teared up because he thought it was really sweet. Also at the back of One Man's Dream is the Moana meet and greet. And when I was posting pictures of all this stuff on Facebook, a lot of people had questions. I did not go in and meet Moana. It was a 40-minute wait, which is not too bad for a popular character. But that's just not something that was on my to-do list for today. But anyway, she is at the back of the One Man's Dream area. If meeting Moana is a priority for you, I recommend going earlier in the day. It's not listed in My Disney Experience. She's not. And I don't think there's any information about her on the website. So I know it's a little bit confusing, but she's been around for a few months and hopefully will continue to be because she seems to be quite popular. But if meeting Moana is a goal of yours, I would just put that in the first hour of your park touring just to keep the line down keep your weight down as low as possible. But even at, when were you there? 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon? It was 40 minutes, which isn't too outrageous. Anyway, so Moana and the preview were both back there. The exit of One Man's Dream movie theater, where the previews are, happens to be right by Star Wars Launch Bay. And so I forgot to say one thing too about the Beauty and the Beast thing. They have the dress and the rose from the movie on display in front of it. So that felt fun to kind of be able to see that before we even went in. Okay, so we went to Star Wars Launch Bay after we got out of the movie and we saw lots of different things as usual in Star Wars related things. They have Jawas walking around and they're always super cute. We went to they have a Disney Visa character meet here as well. So we went and it's Kylo Ren. There is a Kylo Ren that you can meet without a Disney Visa, but either way you can meet Kylo Ren. And he terrifies me every time. And I've met him several times now. So I said to him, "I'm scared." And he said to me, "Good." So that was really nice. He's terrifying. But anyway, that was nice to be able to go and meet a couple characters. Before we left Hollywood Studios, some cast members randomly gifted us. We each got a free FastPass Plus that could be redeemed for any attraction except for Frozen Ever After. And we each got an ice cream treat gifted to us. So that was really nice. We ended up getting a Dole Whip with that because our fourth and last park of the day was Magic Kingdom. So we hopped on over there and we decided to use the FastPass for Splash Mountain because that was just my friends that were here, that was one of the attractions that they had not done yet. And it actually had a long wait by the time we got there. So that was something that they had wanted to do. I got really, really, really wet. Normally I have a backpack with me and in the backpack might be a poncho, a towel that I can use to like wipe down wet seats, all this kind of stuff. But because I was hopping resorts, I had to use my backpack to put items in it to transfer rooms. And so I didn't have my backpack in the parks with me. So I sat down on Splash Mountain in a puddle. So I was already starting off really wet. And then the water just kept coming throughout the ride. So I was soaked. But that's what we used the FastPass for that we were gifted. We also had our own FastPass for Pirates of the Caribbean and for Space Mountain, which we were able to use. And so that was really great. The wait times for everything were really high. So we really didn't do anything without FastPass. And so I want to stop for a second and talk about crowds. We were here this exact same time last year. I was with the same people, the same dates, everything. And it was not crowded at all. We loved it because it was super mild weather and it was not busy. And it was one of my favorite trips I've ever had just because that combo is a good one. This year is much busier. And I think it's because Mardi Gras has an effect. A lot of schools, particularly in Louisiana, are out. And Louisiana is not that far away from Florida. So a lot of people will head on down here. I'm sure there are other factors at play. But it definitely was a lot busier than last year, which is part of why I think Mardi Gras is a factor this time, because, you know, every year Mardi Gras is, you know, slightly different dates. So last year, this was not a Mardi Gras week, but this year it is. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because I think in the last podcast, I said first week of March is a favorite because it's not crowded. This year it was much more crowded. And so it just kind of depends. There are always lots of factors to consider. Okay, let's go back to Magic Kingdom. So while we were at Magic Kingdom, one of the things we wanted to do was to try maple popcorn, which is for sale at a popcorn cart near Pecos Bills. And we actually didn't love it. I just wanted to mention it because it's kind of new, but we actually didn't love it. It didn't have a whole lot of maple flavor to it. It felt like it needed more, and we maybe would have liked it even more. We also, as we were walking through Frontierland, happened upon the Hoedown happening, which is where there are lots of characters out, lots of cast members, and they're dancing, there's music, and they encourage guests to join in. It occurs daily at 5:10, 6 o'clock, and 6:45. So if you want to join in the Hoedown happening, that's a thing that you can do in Frontierland. We made a quick stop by Sleepy Hollow Refreshments because people ask me about this place all the time. It's just a quick service place kind of near the castle. Like as you're looking at the castle, it's to the left. But they just happen to have things that are popular and they often have things that are no longer being served at other locations. So a lot of people ask questions about it. In particular, two things, the chicken and waffle sandwich. That is still available there. People kept telling me that they heard it went away. It hasn't. Not only is it on the menu that I posted, I've seen it in person and I confirm with the cast member. So it's definitely still there. The other thing is baked potatoes. You heard Jill say on a recent podcast that she was going to get baked potatoes and bring her own toppings. The baked potatoes are now available. at Sleepy Hollow. They used to be available at another location in Liberty Square, but that's where they are now. So don't worry about the baked potatoes. Okay, so I am on my own now. When I left Magic Kingdom, I went to Coronado Springs Resort, and I had gotten a text message earlier in the day that said my room was ready. So when I got to Coronado Springs, I walked right to my room and scanned myself into my room. I never had to go by the front desk. So that's where I am now. I have already taken lots of pictures of it, as many as I could at night. And so tomorrow my plan is to take more pictures of Coronado Springs Resort, including the construction. I did pass construction as I was walking to my room, so I'll try to take pictures of how that looks right now. What else? Oh, I'm going to be at Epcot at Rope Drop, because that continues to be a difficult one for people to figure out how to plan that when there's three different headliners and so much to try to fit in. So I'm going to be there to do that. Disney Springs has some new restaurants and a photo pass location that I want to check out. So I want to do that. So those are the three things: Rope Drop at Epcot, pictures of the resort during the daytime, and a couple things in Disney Springs. So hopefully this time tomorrow night I'll be recording and we'll have all those things to cover. But check back tomorrow and we'll see. That's it for now. All right, today is day four, Monday, of my March trip. And the last update that I will be recording from Disney World, it is 10:26 on Monday night as I record this. And tomorrow is my last day. I'm flying home late tomorrow night. And so I will record a post-trip thing from home and put it all together in an episode. I think I said last night that I was going to be doing Epcot Rope Drop, a photo tour of Coronado Springs, and including checking out the construction, plus visiting Disney Springs. And I actually did all those things. So let's get started. Let's walk through it. The first thing is that I was at Epcot today for Rope Drop. The main reason is that ever since last summer when Frozen Ever After opened, the whole flow of touring Epcot has felt off kilter to me. It's really hard to have three headliners and tiered fast passes and to try to figure that out. Before Frozen Ever After opened, I had a touring plan that I did every trip and I suggested to everybody, and it was so easy. You could spend one day at Epcot if you wanted and not wait in lines, but now it's just not like that. So I went to Epcot today to test my own touring plans again, just to see how it works. And I think what I've really just finally come to terms with, I was really trying to figure out a one day plan that would allow people to go to all three headliners without a wait in one day. But the truth is that when you do that, you have to give something up. So there's really three choices when it comes to doing Epcot. Either you have to do multiple days so that you can spread the headliners across at least 2 days, or you have to choose two of the three to do. And so choose two of the three that you want to do and do one of them at park opening and one of them with a fast pass, or you can do all three if you're willing to use the single rider line at Test Track. And that's what I did today. I arrived at Epcot at 8:20, and as soon as the park opened, I was there and I went to Frozen Ever After and then went and rode Test Track single rider, did some other things. And then ultimately the goal is to end up around lunchtime at Soarin and use a fast pass there. So I posted a whole touring plan on the Facebook page if you'd like to read that. That kind of breaks it down. I used my actual times from the first 2 hours and gave you like a full day touring plan. If you want to do one day at Epcot that includes all three headliners, minimal waits, but it does include using the single rider line Test Track. So anyway, I just sort of come to terms with the fact that Epcot is a lot more complicated than it used to be, and this is just the new normal for that park. What else? Okay, so then I came back to Coronado Springs, and I've previously taken some pictures at night, but I wanted to complete the photo tour and take pictures during the day, as well as check out the construction. So when I came back, I went on my photo tour and discovered, and I also talked to some cast members about this, but basically there is a section of Coronado Springs that is used to be called Cabanas 9B, and it was one of the areas closest to the main building, and I believe it used to have a lot of like business type rooms. It had a lot of different kinds of rooms in it that were not standard for moderate resorts. But that whole area is in the process of being demolished. And so I actually took a 30-second video of what it sounds like. It's very, very, very loud. It's just the buildings are being bulldozed, knocked over. It's very loud. And so that whole section is under construction. And I confirmed with two cast members that the construction here at Coronado Springs for the 2-year project is going to be confined to that space in terms of demolishing and rebuilding. However, they will be going through all of the remaining rooms at the resort and refurbishing them. That doesn't have a huge impact on visitors because they usually go building by building and it's all interior work. And, you know, they just don't book people in those rooms when they're doing that work. So that's not a big deal. So, basically, I would say I'm in the cabana section. And if you are anywhere in the cabana section, the noise from the construction site is very, very loud during daytime hours, which may not bother some people because if you're out and about between 9 and 5, that's no big deal. But if you happen to be a family that comes back for breaks or wants to take naps or whatever, then you will be able to hear it. I am in a room almost as far away as you can possibly be from the construction in the cabana section, and I can still hear it at times very loud. So My suggestion would actually not necessarily be to avoid Coronado Springs during the construction, because I think it's a lovely resort, really almost on par for me with Port Orleans Riverside. They're very similar to me, but with some added perks here at Coronado Springs. But I would say if you stay here to stay in the Casita section, because it's on the other side of the main building, if you book a preferred room at Coronado Springs, that is Casitas for sure. And then if you don't book a preferred room, you can request a couple of the Casitas buildings over on that side. So I say still stay, but just stay on that side. The food court, like I just came from a value resort where the food court was really crazy and, you know, busy. But food court is, you know, just so calm. And I've eaten there a couple times and the food is good. I think the resort's beautiful, and when you're over there, you really can't tell exactly what's going on. So I say stay, but just stay in the Casita section. So anyway, I'll have lots of pictures to post of Coronado Springs after I get back. I kind of collect those photos to post when I'm home, because a lot of people ask questions, and then I can kind of sit at home in my yoga pants and respond to them from my laptop. And then finally, I decided to go to Disney Springs, and there were a couple things I wanted to check out. One was to eat at a new restaurant, and so I chose Planet Hollywood. Before going to Disney Springs, I wanted to make a reservation. I checked the Disney dining system. It said there was nothing at Planet Hollywood, so I went to the Open Table app, and it had lots of choices. So that's always a good tip. If you're eating in Disney Springs, a lot of the restaurants there are in Open Table, and they will show availability when Disney dining system does not. So I made a reservation just a couple hours before going. I also wanted to check out, there is a PhotoPass studio in Disney Springs that I had never been to, and it's located near Ghirardelli. I'm trying to think of what. It's between the Co-op store and the Ghirardelli store. It's just a little place that you can go in and you can buy some PhotoPass products, including a storybook that just came out. And they also will allow you to take pictures against a green screen and scan your Magic Band to have those added to your account. 95% of the people that go here, they told me, are from Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in Disney Springs. You know, they do the makeovers and then they go there and get their picture taken against the backdrop. I had them take a few pictures of me just so I could see what it was like. And they put a background of Cinderella Castle and Main Street and the Disneyland Sleeping Beauty Castle, actually, which is really funny to see in my PhotoPass account here in Orlando. I don't think they're super high quality. It's actually kind of funny. But I guess it's better than nothing. And it was kind of fun to try it. If you already have pictures through a memory maker or because you have an annual pass, it doesn't hurt to try it and just have those pictures added to your account.
I just did it for fun. But anything kind of photographs related, you can do in this studio. Plus, you can get some pictures taken. I also, right before going to finally eat at Planet Hollywood, decided to go to the Coca-Cola store. And it's actually really great. They have three floors. The first two mostly just have merchandise. But on the second floor, you can also meet the Coca-Cola bear. And he's connected to the PhotoPass system. So you can meet him and get your pictures for free. He's really cute. And then on the third floor is a rooftop bar with a fantastic view of Disney Springs. And you can order lots of drinks, alcoholic included. I believe those alcoholic drinks are available in the evenings only. But I got a rum and Coke float and sat up on the rooftop while I waited for my friend to arrive for our dinner reservation. And it was really great. I took several pictures from up there. I thought it was beautiful. And I think it's just kind of a gem in Disney Springs. And, I mean, whether you drink or not, you can take advantage of the rooftop bar up there on top of the Coca-Cola store. So then finally it was time to go eat, and we went to Planet Hollywood. And I didn't have high expectations for Planet Hollywood. I just thought it would be fine, but it's new, and so I wanted to go check it out. But we ended up really loving it. The interior is really fun. They have a big giant screen they project all kinds of different things on. I can't even really begin to describe it because it's like it's music videos sometimes. And sometimes it's just imagery and just random stuff, but it kind of creates a fun atmosphere. But they had really – our service was fantastic. The drinks were great, tasty. The appetizers, desserts, entrees, everything was really, really good. So that worked – that worked out really well for us. It's really good, really tasty. I mean, there's so many places to eat in Disney Springs that it's hard to say, oh, well, you should eat there over somewhere else. But, you know, I just think it's an easy crowd pleaser for lots of people. It's loud. It's fun. So if that's sort of the thing that would match your group, maybe it's a good option for you. But we really liked it. I asked about discounts, and they don't accept like annual pass holder discounts or anything yet, but they might soon. It's still a really new location, so they're trying to figure some things out. They did have a photo opportunity in the lobby where you could get your pictures taken, and they would put you against some different scenes. And we went over to collect those photos, and they said you had to buy it. And then they would add it to your PhotoPass account. They would not give you that one for free. So anyway, then I came back to the hotel, and I am recording this and preparing for tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to be doing tomorrow other than flying home tomorrow night, but I think I might be doing Rope Drop at Magic Kingdom. Don't hold me to that. I need to figure it out. I have to get packed and get my bags checked and all that stuff too. So we have to, I have to kind of feel it out. And then I have all day to kill, all the time until like 7 o'clock and tomorrow night before I head to the airport. So we'll see what happens. But I will let you know when I get back how the last day went and put all the trip reports together into one podcast. And then we'll be back on track with kind of normal episodes for a while. So that wraps it up for tonight. I will talk to you next time. And I am back home. I'm recording this on Wednesday morning, March 8th. I just flew back late last night and wanted to record this as soon as I could before I forgot how my last day on my March trip went. So because I had the late flight, I decided to go ahead and stay at my hotel room until checkout time, because if I had tried to make Rope Drop at a park, then that would have meant that I was out of the hotel room for 12 hours without anywhere to go back and like take a break or, you know, rest or anything like that. So I stayed at the hotel until checkout time, called Bell Services for them to send a golf cart to help me with my luggage so I could take it to airline check-in. Anybody who is flying one of the participating airlines can use airline check-in. You do not have to be taking Magical Express to use airline check-in. That is one of my favorite things about staying at a Disney World resort. So Bell Services came on a golf cart, and they took me over, and I was able to check my bag. I think I'll link in the show notes to the Magical Express and airline check-in information on the website, but you have to do it before noon. If you do it after that, then you'll have to actually just take your bags to the airport instead of using the resort. But I realized I didn't have any cash, which was super embarrassing because the Bell Services person had come all the way to help me. So luckily there's an ATM there. I was able to grab some real quick to give to him. And I only mention that because one of the things that you should do before a trip,
if you don't want to use the ATM at the hotel, is to grab some cash for things like that. Anybody who's going to handle your bag should be tipped along the way. And then I left my carry-on bag with Bell Services at the hotel. I did not check it, and then headed off to the parks. And the first place they went was Hollywood Studios, because I posted on my Facebook page, hey, I have 8 hours in the park. What should I do? And I would just sort of took some suggestions from people. And so the first thing I did was to go meet Moana. A lot of people don't know that Moana is available. She actually just started appearing in the My Disney Experience app a couple of days ago. So more and more people will probably become aware of her. But basically, she is at Hollywood Studios inside One Man's Dream. I got there around 11:30. And there was a posted wait time of 30 minutes, and it was exactly 30 minutes. It did seem to grow. As I was waiting in line, the line kept growing and growing and growing. So I guess if Moana is a priority for you, you might want to try to see her within the first couple of hours that Hollywood Studios is open, just to avoid that kind of a wait, although 30 minutes isn't terrible compared to some of the character waits. But anyway, Moana has kind of her own little room at the back of One Man's Dream. So that was really fun. She's really cute. And I was by myself yesterday, and she said, oh, are you voyaging alone? I like to do that sometimes too. So that was really cute. And so I just spent a little time at Hollywood Studios doing a few things, and then decided to take express transportation over to Animal Kingdom. So to give you an idea how efficient it is, I was at Hollywood Studios until 2:40, and I was then sitting in the 3 o'clock Festival of the Lion King at Animal Kingdom. So that's how fast it is. It helps that the drop-off location at Animal Kingdom is right next to Festival of the Lion King. So when I got there at like 2:57, I just quickly scurried over to Festival of the Lion King. They will let people come in a few minutes after the start time until the theater is full. So I was able to make the 3 o'clock Lion King after being at Hollywood Studios at 2:40. So I just kind of finished off my day at Animal Kingdom. One of the things I did on this trip that I'm not sure if I've talked about in these daily updates because I forget what I said is I had a lot of fun with the photo pass photographers. And every time I would see one, I would just stop. And some of them are pretty standard pictures, you know, like they're positioned right in front of one of the park icons or picture spots. And so you get your picture, but some of them actually do really interesting things. And especially the ones that are not on tripods, the photographers that are kind of just roaming around, they can often do more interesting sort of angles or poses or magic shots. And I'm going to do a whole podcast or post or something about PhotoPass, because there's a lot of different things that people may not know about it. But one of the things that you can do is just ask the photographer, can you do magic shots? And then they often can, and they'll position you, you know, in a certain way. And then when the photo comes through in your PhotoPass account, it will have something inserted and you won't know what it is until it shows up. Your regular PhotoPass pictures will show up almost immediately in your PhotoPass account, but the magic shots for me took about 3 hours to show up. So for instance, I had one photographer at Animal Kingdom that took several standard shots and then one magic shot. So the standard ones were immediate, and then that magic shot was added a few hours to that particular set. Anyway, so it was just a lot of fun. I just had a lot of fun with the photographers, and it helps that annual passes come with those photos. Because I'm much more likely to stop and take them now. What else? From Animal Kingdom, I took the bus back to Coronado Springs and got my bag at Bell Services, and then headed to the airport. And that pretty much wrapped up that trip. And let's see. So in conclusion, let me think back. March weather was amazing, as expected. The crowds were a lot heavier than last year, partly due to Mardi Gras crowds, I believe. Pop Century was a great option as usual. Really love that. And then Coronado Springs is almost my favorite moderate, although with some construction going on, I recommend staying on the Casitas section as opposed to the Cabanas section. So I think that'll wrap up this trip. I have lots of ideas for future podcasts, so I'm going to go ahead and get started on those. And hope you enjoyed following along, and I can't wait to do it again. Until next time, I will see you on the site.